Anyway, this little boy prayed for $100 for 2 weeks, but nothing happened. So he decided to write a letter to the Lord and to request the $100. And when the postal authorities received the letter addressed to the Lord, USA, they decided to send it to President Obama. The president was so impressed, touched, and amused that he instructed his secretary to send the little boy a $5 bill, as this would appear to be a lot of money to a little guy. The little boy was delighted with the $5 and sat down to write a thank you note to the Lord. It said, "Dear Lord, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through Washington, D.C., and as usual, those politicians deducted $95. So we're going to talk about one of those taboo subjects today, but those of you who are regular attenders here at WinWorks, you're used to it. Three things you're not supposed to talk about in a group of people. One of them is sex. We've done that. One of them is politics, and since this is an election year, I'm sure you'll hear plenty about politics this year. And the third one is money. And it's on money that we're going to touch on today. We're in a series called The Ecology of God, and this is part of the ecosystems that make up the ecology of God, and we're going to call this today The Ecology of Abundance. And when I say that, everybody's minds instantly are going to go to the dollar signs, the money. And so I want to kind of tell you that that's not what this is all about this morning. There is some in there, but it's not what it's all about. And I've got a wonderful PowerPoint to show you, The Ecology of Abundance. Thank you very much. Thank Gary. Thank Greg. You know, one thing that I have learned to ask as I watch, particularly in the sports world, but also probably in the entertainment world, you know, it's that time of year where they're talking about football free agents, and football seems to be the big passion of Americans these days. And some of the figures they're throwing around out there that these guys stand to make, and saying that, you know, if they're franchised, they stand to lose a lot of money, because if they're franchised, they're only going to get $8 million this next year, whereas if they would, you know, sign a long-term deal, then they could stand to get that times 5 years or, you know, something like that. And it's like, goodness, I have to ask the question, when is enough enough? You know, seriously, in this world, when is enough enough? How big does a house have to be? How deep does the pool have to be before it's enough? You know, how bright and yellow does the car have to be before it's enough? That's strictly a coincidence. How much fame? How many jewels do you have to have before it's enough? How much food? How much water do we have to have before it is enough? You know what the greatest threat to the kingdom of God is today? It is greed. I'm here to tell you the greatest threat to the kingdom of God today is greed. Now, before I'm going to sound like I'm bashing everybody who has money, because that's not my intention, I truly believe I'm one of those strange people that believes that there shouldn't be no such thing in the world as abject poverty. Because there's enough resources, there's enough riches in the world where nobody in the world should have to live in poverty. It's this thing called greed that drives those who have much to seek more. And for the first time, I just read this in the last day or two, for the first time since the Empire of Rome, and you know I teach ancient history in my classroom, and we're studying ancient Rome starting next month. So check this out. For the first time since ancient Rome, the disparity between the rich and the poor is as great or greater than it's ever been here in the United States. And I'm saying something's wrong with that picture. And so, you know, there's a song that some of you have heard me quote before, because the theologians in my youth were four guys who together were named the Beatles. And they sang a song that was very poignant. And the lyrics to the song said, "In the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make." And this is the whole bottom line of what we're going to talk about today. I could have come up here with, you know, a bunch of object lessons, and I thought about coming up here with a half glass of water and a pitcher and filling that glass the rest of the way till it overflowed and holding that up and saying, okay, now, can I put any more water in this cup? And obviously the answer would be, no, it's filled to the brim. Okay, so if we made that analogy to the blessings thing, it's like, okay, if we're full of blessings, is there room for more blessings? Well, it's just going to overflow. If I take that cup of water and I go out here and I water the tulips that hopefully you saw are coming up in our planters and some of the flowers out there, do I have room for more water? Absolutely. And do that again, and there's room for more water. And pretty soon, you kind of see the spiritual application here. When you empty yourself, you're availing yourself to more blessings. You're availing yourself to heaven to pour out more and more upon you. So I want to take a look at some scriptures this morning to kind of talk on this whole concept of giving. And 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessing. Following the analogy of the glass of water. You know, you keep pouring your glass out, you're going to keep getting more water. Text in 2 Corinthians again. In fact, the next verse. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, meaning he takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in his giving. Now that's obviously the amplified version, where it adds all those extras. God loves a cheerful giver. So, and that's one thing that I'm going to tell you right now. Those of you who have attended here for a long time, in fact, this becomes a subject of many serious discussions in this church. Because if you've attended this church very often, or if you're here today for the first time, you might have noticed that we have something missing in our service that most other churches do. And that is, we have not passed the plate. Because there's a ton of reasons, but blame me. And I'll take this one on myself because I have been the biggest, stubbornest proponent of not passing the plate. Because I deal with a lot of people whose picture of church, of religion, is all they want is my money. And I do not want that barrier for anybody that walks in here. And so others have challenged me, and rightfully so, because I think it's a topic that needs to be discussed. Well, we're losing money by not passing the plate. And our response is, you're probably right, but we think the amount of money we're losing is probably pocket change. And to me, it's not worth, the pocket change is not worth that potential barrier for somebody coming and checking out WinWorks Fellowship, checking out the God that we know, because we love cheerful givers as well. Amen, Gary? Amen. And so what we have failed to do, we've kind of so soft-pedaled it, and again, I take responsibility for this, that we've had people come through here saying, I wanted to give some money today, but nobody asked for any. And that's been a problem. You know, if Paul Allen or Bill Gates came through here, we might make an exception and take an offering that day. I'm kidding. But I would do with them sitting here the same thing that I'm going to do with you right now. We are going to start making it known for those people who don't know where they're supposed to give their offerings and that sort of thing, that there's a box back there on the back counter that says our tithes and offerings or something to that effect. And it's very spiritual because this is how they did it in the day of Jesus. They didn't pass the hat at the synagogue. They had a place where they went and put their offerings. We have a place where we go and put our offerings. Nobody has to see it. Nobody has to know who's done it, who hasn't done it, because that's not what we're about. So I want you to rest assured that whatever we say today, this is not an arm twisting. Okay? Because this is so much bigger and so much more than money. And we're talking about the guy who owns it all. We're talking about the guy who owns all the money, all the sheep, all the cattle on the hill. There's nothing he doesn't own. And no, we will not send a letter out there to the post office saying, you know, please send us $100,000. Because we would not get $5 back from this government, I don't believe. So when we talk about this, Deuteronomy 16, 17, every man shall give as he is able, and that's what we believe, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. What you give is between you and him. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and Gary, you and Bob. It's between you and him. You know what you can give. He knows what you can give. Enough said. Matthew 10, 8, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely, without pay, you have received. Freely, without charge, give. Isn't that amazing amplification of that text? I love it. You have been given without pay. So if you've gotten it for free, you should be willing to give it away for free without charging. Philippians 4:19, and my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You may not understand your every need. Your wants may kind of sometimes get confused with your needs. But Philippians 4:19 says, God knows what your needs are, and God is going to personally take it upon himself to supply those needs. In Malachi, and here's the, you know, the big bat that every church brings out when they talk about money. In Malachi 3, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Okay, so this is one of the scriptures that we have in the Bible that Jesus, God, says, test me. Try it. See what happens. But again, back to our analogy of the water, you know, if we're not giving it away, how can we receive more? How can heaven pour out all those blessings on me if I'm hoarding those blessings and I'm not sharing those blessings with anybody? You know, I love my parents, who are both deceased now, but they grew up in the Depression. And I remember my mother taught me something at a very young age, and it drives my wife nuts because it's something I picked up from my mother. And I may hear Karen saying amen before this is all over because of my brother. But because of the Depression, there was always this feel of, you know, we can't be without. And so if the Piggly Wiggly had something on sale, we didn't buy one, we didn't buy two. If it was a really good sale, we bought a case. I mean, you know, my mom didn't live to see Costco. She would have thought she died and gone to heaven going to Costco. Because the mentality of the Depression was, we don't want to be without again. And so we're going to store it up in the garage, in the pantry, wherever we can stick it. If it's on sale, baby, we're going to get multiples. Blame my mother. Acts 20, verse 35, in everything I have pointed out to you, by example, that by working diligently in this manner, we ought to assist the weak, being mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, It is more blessed, meaning makes one happier and more to be envied, to give than to receive. Now, those of you who are parents, who are grandparents, you think of Christmas, you think of giving. Because that's where the fun is. All right? We love to give. My biggest struggle is being a good receiver. Because it's hard for me to accept from someone else. And I'm working really hard on it. Okay? I can give all day. I can give till the cows come home. But when someone tries to give to me, it's hard. It's harder for me to receive. And I'm working on being a better receiver. I'll always love giving, probably, undoubtedly more. But we need to be good receivers as well. Going over to the book of Luke, give and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag? For with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. Sound like the Beatles? The love you take is equal to the love you make. What you take or get back in measure is going to be equivalent to what you give away. The amount of water I pour out on the plant is going to kind of the indicator of how much water gets refilled. There's a principle here, and I want you to understand this principle today. Just as much as we talk about ecosystems and ecology, those are laws of God. I'm going to go as far and say what I'm talking about is a law of God, is a principle of the universe. And that is, the more you give away, the more you're going to get. And that flies against everything we've ever been taught, especially if you had depression-era parents like I did. It flies in the face of that. Luke 6:38, give, and this is another version of this, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Our scripture this morning, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Do we believe that? Yeah, we've talked about that for years here. And that's one of the indicators as to whether someone has any kind of presence of God in them. Because if they do good, according to this text right here, it's a gift from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes from the poor and their want will have many a curse. See, there's some real anti-hoarding language here in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, okay, we're kind of transcending the whole money thing now. Because God really, money, it's just something somebody prints up someplace anyway, and anymore it's not even backed by anything. God wants us to give our thanksgiving to Him, our thanks, our praise to Him. See, the abundance principle is you can only replace that which you have given away. Yeah? How can I replace something I haven't given away? I can add to it. I can add more toys, and you've all seen that bumper sticker that has, been popular for many years. He with the most toys wins. Oh, but that's another concept. He who dies with the most toys has just made somebody else very happy. Because it's been given away. Okay, the Lord desires cheerful givers. But as I've already alluded to you, the Lord desires cheerful receivers as well. I just pictured Jesus walking from town to town, and all these people who had such needs and serious things going on in their lives saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. And him giving of himself and of the Father and healing them, forgiving their sins. And I know it just made Jesus' heart so warm. It thrilled him to do so. But we've got proof. Remember the 10 lepers who he healed, and only one came back? And remember Jesus' response to that? You know, 9 of them went away, and Jesus said, well, wait a minute, wasn't there 10 of you? And he comments on this one who wasn't a Jew, who was a Samaritan, that the Samaritan was the only one who came back to say thank you. He was the only one who was a good receiver. Now, it didn't mean the other 9 got leprosy again. It just meant that Jesus pointed out it's important to be a good receiver as well. And by being a good receiver, saying thank you. Thank you when, you know, people in here do things for each other. I mean, last Sunday, we could not have done what we did with the garage sale without Gary. Gary was a difference maker. Because of the amount of time he spent here, the amount of effort he gave us, he was a difference maker. And we've told Gary thank you many times since then. You know, there's some great quotes that talk about the whole thing about giving as well. There was this little short, fat guy who sits in most people's gardens by the name of Buddha, who said, before giving, the mind of the giver is happy. While giving, the mind of the giver is made peaceful, and having given, the mind of the giver is uplifted. What a great quote. Mother Teresa said, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. I mean, that's a cheerfulness, isn't it? I love children, as you all know, because I've been dealing with them for 38 years. And I, with our own kids, our grandkids, you've all seen this scene where somebody's got the toy and they won't share it and they won't give it. And so mama, daddy, papa, nana, somebody comes along and says, all right, you've got to share that toy. Now, right now, share it. Okay. Gives the toy up. Not a cheerful giver. But we've got people that way who are Christ followers. Oh, man, 10%. Okay. Got to give up a Sunday to help. Okay. The giving gets lost in the attitude. And that's not what God has called us to do. God would rather, I believe, have us keep it than give it so begrudgingly, because it builds barriers between us and God. Because we think God is stealing from us, stealing our time, stealing our money, and we've got it all twisted. St. Francis of Assisi, for it's in giving that we receive. Wow. Same principle. You can't get it if you don't give it. I have found that among its other benefits, giving liberates the soul of the giver. You know, we said the greatest threat to the kingdom of God today is greed. This is the antidote to greed. Giving it away takes the power out of greed, takes the sting away from greed, and it liberates your soul. It frees you. Eleanor Roosevelt, when you cease to make a contribution, you begin to die. Can't tell you how many people I've known in my lifetime who have come to retirement and stopped doing what they were doing to contribute in whatever area they were, and within months were dead. Now, more so when I was a younger guy, I saw that happen. You know, I think most people my age now are a little more serious about getting exercise, eating right, and all those kinds of things. But a lot of those people, they would just stop doing what they were doing, sit, and die. They ceased to contribute. Mary McLeod, Bethune, as I give, I get. You catching the principle here? Robert Half, giving people a little more than they expect is a good way to get back more than you'd expect. And I love this old proverb, a generous man forgets what he gives and remembers what he receives. In other words, don't keep score. You know, you go out to lunch with somebody, well, you know what, we paid for them last time. I wonder if they're going to pay for us this time. Don't keep score. Desire Joseph Mercier, we must not only give what we have, we must also give what we are. And this is where we now step over that line, and we don't talk about money anymore. We're talking about your time. We're talking about your energy. We're talking about your creativity. We're talking about your personality. You know, I've known so many people who are this way, personality-wise, in this group, and they're totally different over here in this group. They don't give this group the same thing they're giving this group. And God's saying, don't do that. Give. Give of yourself. Give that smile. I don't care if it's somebody who you meet on the street who reeks of alcohol, who looks homeless. They deserve the same part of you as if you met Christine Gregoire or if you met President Obama. Same thing. Let's talk about today's church, because a lot of you have heard a lot of some of these mega churches, what they teach. And one of the things that a lot of mega churches teach is this thing called prosperity gospel. That this God of abundance says, hey, there's no reason you can't be rich. And one of the basic texts that comes from is found in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Or have it, as one version says, more abundantly. And they take that text and they say, okay, that means that it's okay if you've got all those hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars. It's okay. And come to give life so that you can have it to the full. And I read that text and I take that meaning that God is talking about this kingdom life. Not that one up there in heaven waiting for us, but in this kingdom life is why that statement was made in John 10. Jesus wants us to have a more abundant life now. You don't have to wait. And you saw that picture of today's church. I want to tell you that there are some other churches today that look like this. And what are we doing to make sure that they have a more abundant life today? It's really easy to defer and say, well, you know what, they'll get to heaven and then they'll have the streets of gold and they'll have that mansion and instead of that hut. But what about today? Because we believe in this church that God's kingdom is here now. That one of the things Jesus did when he came to give that explanation that his kingdom is now as well as later. You see, Jesus has some comments on getting rich too. I always like to go back to the source. I don't take mega church pastors and say, right on. I can get all that money and not feel guilty. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Stop storing up treasures for yourselves on earth where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Oh, and this is so much more than money. Please hear that this is so much more than money. Where's your focus? Where's your attention? Are you distracted? You know, the next big deal is gonna put us over the hump. And so everything you do, everything, all your energy, all your thoughts go toward that next big deal. You're distracted. Because your focus is down here. Your focus is not up there. You know, how do you lay up treasure in heaven? Well, by giving of yourself, according to Matthew 25, by finding those who are thirsty and giving them a drink, and those who are hungry and giving them food, those who are naked and giving them clothes, and so on and so forth. You're giving of yourself. You're laying up treasure in heaven. You're saying, you know what? This is not the most important thing. That is the most important thing. And so everything I choose to do, I want it to do it thinking that it has some eternal implications. And so, yeah, the dude down here, let me get it straight, down here on the corner who's there every day, holding his sign saying, homeless, need a little help. Do you give me help? You know, what he does with that money is not your problem. And I'm using him as an example because you can go to almost any corner in this town anymore and find someone just like them, male or female. And I know you can't give all of them $20. I'm not suggesting that. But maybe once a month you could take half hour, 60 minutes of your day and say, you know what, sir, there's an IHOP right across the street. Let me take you to lunch. Let me take you to breakfast. And it's not so that everybody here can pat you on the back and say, way to go, way to represent WinWorks Fellowship. And it's not so that, okay, God, my turn, I did it for him, my turn. We don't keep score. We do it, it's because of who we are. We do it, it's because of who he is. And we do it because of whose we are. And we are his. And then there's this one. As Jesus was walking down a road, a man ran up to him. He knelt down and asked, good teacher, what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus replied, why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Be faithful in marriage. Do not steal. Do not tell lies about others. Do not cheat. Respect your father and mother. The man answered, teacher, I have obeyed all these commandments since I was a young man. Jesus looked closely at the man. And I love this next sentence. He liked him. He liked what he saw. And he said, there's still one thing you need to do. Go sell everything you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come with me. When the man heard Jesus say this, he went away gloomy and sad because he was very rich. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, it's hard for rich people to get into God's kingdom. The disciples were shocked to hear this. So Jesus told them again, it's terribly hard to get into God's kingdom. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into God's kingdom. Jesus' disciples were even more amazed. They asked each other, how can anyone ever be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself by giving it all away. Only God can save you through his son, Jesus Christ. But there is this principle at play. Do you know how many times the word give appears in Scripture? 300? 325. Okay. Actually, it appears 880 times. Do you know how many times the word receive appears in Scripture? 341 times. Okay. How many times does the word love appear in Scripture? You would think. Guess what? 508 times. So here's the deal, y'all. When we talk about giving and loving, you see, love 508 times in the NIV, any form of the word love in the NIV is there 699 times, like loving and, you know, all those parts of love. In the King James Version, apparently those translators didn't like the word love because they only put it in there 280 times, and any form of the word love was in there 442 times. So remember, 880 times for giving. Any form of the word giving is in there 1,547 times. Gave, given, any form of the word give. 1,547 times. Y'all, that's two times more than love is talked about in the Bible. Is giving an important principle in God's kingdom? Excuse me. Yes. Is it more important than loving? Let me put it this way. When you love, you give. When you love, you give. When you give, you don't necessarily have to love. It's so much more than money. In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. You see, when you love someone, you give of yourself. You become transparent. You give to that person your personality, who you are. And those who love God, those who love Jesus Christ, do the same thing. They say, God, here I am. This is who I am. So God's principle is that loving equals giving. There was a movie that many of you saw back in October of 2000 called Pay It Forward. Pay It Forward was a story about a young boy who made this design, came up with this idea that if one person would find three different people to help, and then each of those people found three different people to help, that he could change the world, or this principle could change the world. And here were the rules. It has to be something that really helps people. Number two, it has to be something they can't do by themselves. And number three, I do it for them, they do it for three other people. Pretty simple. But it would change the world. On April 14th, 2012, in our pursuit of trying to serve the families of this community, in our early learning center, half of which are at poverty level, we are holding an auction here at WinWorks Fellowship that all proceeds will go to fund the learning center. Now, you've heard a lot about the early learning center for the last year and a half that we've been in this building. But I want you to know that there are some remarkable stories coming out from the early learning center about God working in the lives of these people. We can't give up on that. We can't walk away on that. You've heard we're in crunch time here as a church financially, that the next 2 months are critical until we can get past this auction. The goal for this auction is to raise at least $20,000 to get us through the summer, because we believe by projection of enrollment rates that by then we will have enough kids over there that the bleeding will have stopped. And then we can, you know, continue to grow as a church and continue to grow as an early learning center and pay back those people who have kept us afloat for this long. So it's kind of, we got to get to September. And so this auction is intended to do that. Some of you are going to be asked to play a part in that by finding things that people are willing to donate to be auctioned, by inviting people not of our congregation to come to this auction. You know, we don't want to milk you. You guys are doing a fantastic job of paying. We are paying 2 to 3 times more as a church than before we got into this building. And I don't know that anybody ever stands before you and says, thank you. You guys are doing a fantastic job in supporting this church. But that's the truth. So we're not after any more of your money. But there's a lot of people in this community who will buy into the idea of supporting a child center who has 50% population that is at poverty level. Because most child centers won't do that. The very most they'll allow in is 25%, 1/4 of their population. Because you can't make any money with poverty level DSHS children. But you know what? We determined a long time ago that DSHS children need to feel and know God's love as much or maybe even more than those private pay families who can afford child care. And so we believe that God has put us upon this mission. And I just want to invite you to prayerfully keep this auction in your prayers. And if you go out to eat sometime and, you know, people know you because you frequent this place a lot, we've got a letter you can give them introducing to We Love Learning Center and what we're trying to do, and maybe they'll donate a dinner for two. Maybe whoever cuts your hair will donate a haircut or a hair coloring or whatever. You see how it works. And then our job is just to get this thing advertised and let people know what we're doing so that they can support it as well. But above all, I want us to remember this morning Matthew 6:26-27, where Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? In fact, it's been scientifically proven that if you worry, it will shorten your life. Stop worrying. Don't worry. Be happy. You know why? Because you can't take it with you anyway. So we're going to close with a little song that's going to remind you that we can't take it with us anyway. Just remember, everything you accumulate, when you leave, it's going to somebody else. And if it's your children, grandchildren, that's okay. But if it's not, it's like, why are you working so hard to fatten their wallet? You can't take it with you. We are blessed. We live in the richest country in the world. God has given us much. We need to give just a little bit of what he's given us in health and time and energy and personality and yes, even money. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that you have blessed this congregation. You have blessed this people so richly. And we cannot save ourselves. It's one of those things. And whether we're rich or poor, it does not matter. You are the one who saves us. So, Father, I just pray that as we go from here this day, we will remember, we will realize how blessed, how rich we really are. And that we can give a little bit more of ourselves this week in whatever way we can. I know there's so many people here that give so much already. But, God, I just want to put into your hands this morning, this church, this early learning center, the families that we serve over there. This is your cause. This is your project. And you are a God who owns everything, who can make this whole thing happen. And so we don't worry. we be happy, and we put it in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shown from this family of mine, I stand in awe. I can't quite take it in, and it's like a taste of heaven here, having faithful friends. All these treasures, Lord, I know where they come from, can't keep it to myself.